This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. We're going to take a break from the weather here for a moment. Are we going to see 2000 again when the election is all said and done? Are we going to see 1876 again, where one candidate wins the popular vote, the other candidate wins the electoral vote? There was fuzzy math in the 2000 presidential election between George W. Bush and Al Gore. Bush won fewer popular votes than Gore, but carried the Electoral College, giving him the victory. But the question really is, why have this system at all? I'm joined by Dr. John Koza, chairman of National Popular Vote, Inc., originator of popular vote legislation, author of Every Vote Counts, and creator of the Electoral College board game. Dr. Koza, welcome to the program.
Thank you, John.
How does the Electoral College encourage candidates and actually force politicians to game the system independent of the popular preference for who should be the inhabitor of the White House for the next 4 years?
Well, the Electoral College is the way the president is elected in the United States. The people vote for these unknown people called presidential electors, and then they in turn vote for the president. And the problem with the current system is the winner-take-all rule, which awards electoral votes by state, so that if you get the most votes inside, say, the state of Ohio, you get all 18 of Ohio's electoral votes, even if you win Ohio by a very tiny margin. And the result of that winner-take-all rule is that the second-place candidate can win the White House.
And if we were to abolish the Electoral College tomorrow, what do you think the biggest impact on a presidential campaign would be?
Well, the biggest impact would be that the campaign for president would cover the entire United States. Right now, because of the winner-take-all rule, the presidential candidates only pay attention to about 9 states: Ohio, Florida, Colorado, Nevada, Virginia, etc. And they ignore 40 of the 50 states. And they ignore the 40 states because it's clear well in advance of the election which party is going to get the most votes in those 40 states. And as a result, they concentrate on just 9 or 10 states.
Why has this shrinking in focus on fewer and fewer states because of the Electoral College system also meant an increase in funding? We're going to spend upwards of $2 billion when all is said and done in this election campaign.
Well, elections in the United States have been becoming more and more expensive in general. So that trend has been going on. And now we see that increasing amount of money being spent in a smaller and smaller number of states. The battlegrounds are shrinking because the country is becoming more polarized, and more states are either safely Republican or safely Democratic.
Do you think that if the Electoral College was abolished and given the divisions that we have in the United States, that the popular vote would end up burying the pockets of conservatism and pockets of liberalism in the U.S., that states would no longer have the influence that they once had, and that that was, of course, the original fear of the framers?
Well, elections in the United States have always been regional. You can go back to the first election in the 1700s. So the regionalism wouldn't change. There are certain parts of the country that are heavily Republican, and there's other parts that are Democratic. But what you would have in a popular vote nationwide is that the campaign would go to all 50 states and involve 100% of the people of the country, and then the candidate with the most votes would win.
In whose interest is it to keep this system? What are the vested interests that are keeping the Electoral College going?
Well, inertia is one. Political consultants are another. The political consultants know how to campaign in Ohio and Florida and this small number of battleground states. And if we had a nationwide election, that they would have competitors from all the other states.
Do you think if the Electoral College was abolished that it would reduce the impact of money on the campaign, that you wouldn't be able to target money in the way that is the case in elections today, and that perhaps the spending dollars might even go down?
Well, I think the increase in political spending in the United States is an independent trend of whether the Electoral College exists or not. And unfortunately, if you want that problem solved, I don't think a popular election of the president would solve that problem. But it would certainly solve the problem of making the president accountable and to make him pay attention to the entire United States.
Finally, Dr. Koza, when did the U.S. actually come closest to significantly modifying or even abolishing the Electoral College system, or has it ever come close?
Well, a proposal passed the Senate in 1950 for a proportional system that was very close to the idea of a national popular vote, and it passed the House of Representatives in 1969 with the support of President Nixon and former Texas Congressman George Herbert Walker Bush and a 5-1 margin in the House. But it never got through both the House and the Senate by the required margins on the same year.
And then it would still have to be ratified as a constitutional amendment, yes?
And then, of course, it would be ratified as a constitutional amendment.
Dr. John Koza is chairman of National Popular Vote, Inc., originator of popular vote legislation, author of Every Vote Counts, and creator of the Electoral College board game, which will be interesting to play this time around. Dr. Koza, thanks so much.
Oh, thank you, John.
We want to hear your storm prep stories. Chris from Massachusetts texted us this with his advice for making it through Hurricane Sandy. Protect family, shore up house, stock food and water, temporary power resource, keep faith for no one getting hurt, then seek opportunity in the aftermath for work. Thanks so much, Chris. He's waiting for Hurricane Sandy in Massachusetts. Where are you waiting for the hurricane? And if not, what are you watching in the preparations you're seeing around the country? Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Our Hurricane Sandy coverage continues throughout the hour. Next, we're checking in on the coasts of Delaware and New Jersey. Likely to be hardest hit. That's next on The Takeaway. Stay with us.